good evening. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama thanking you for being right where you are in this now moment of eternity. For those of you who are tuning into the meeting of the inner circle for the very first time, I welcome you and pray that you meet me here every Thursday night. For those of you who are using your phone apps towards your greater good, thank you for being that wise. For those of you who are the inner circle, the ones who try to make sure that you're always attuned to this frequency at this appointed hour, I am so grateful for you and pray that you are always consistently inspired, motivated to go deeper, to reach higher, to stand in ever greater degrees of impeccable integrity with the truth of the all that you are as living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal point of absolute and supreme intelligence. For we are in a now moment that requires us to care to claim the reality of the truth of who we be as these points of it, and to know absolutely that there is nothing that can triumph over that which is light, that which is wisdom, and that which is truth, that there is victory and triumph that has already been won by virtue of there being absolute law, absolute order, and the fulfillment of the law being absolute love. And so if we care to be truly successful, then we have to care enough to do that which aligns us in the integrity of that divinity, that personal presence that is vividly representing itself as light, love, wisdom, truth, so that we are dwelling in the peace, the poise, the power, the potency, the creativity, the self-mastery, the fullness of that which we are, and knowing that as we are maturing in that fullness, that there is no end to how full there that we become. There is no end to the greatness of our presence. There is no end to the beauty of that which we can create upon the planet. There is no end to that which is our destiny as eternity. We dwell in the reality of this absolute and supreme intelligence that is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. It beats our heart and it breathes us, and we are each so absolutely blessed with each and every breath and every beat of our heart, that there is divinity that is our absolute reality. And there is no amount of money, situation or circumstances, opportunities that is greater than the wealth of being, dwelling in the reality of eternity already, having been gifted with heritage, inheritance, that which is charged upon our DNA. And to know that in this now moment, our duty, obligation, and responsibility as living beings, as man, the progenitor of lineages, as wombed man, the perpetuator of lineages, is to exalt a full life's urge, to master ourselves to the degree to which we find no pleasure in undermining ourselves, that we find pleasure in enhancing, enriching, facilitating, uplifting, honoring, treasuring, cherishing, being obedient unto the laws, learning, growing, cultivating, self-actualizing, self-realizing, and delighting and rejoicing in that which is destiny. To leave the planet having lived fully, loved, generously given, and added to the blessedness of all of those who will come after us. And so I'm the voice that speaks on behalf of the voiceless, on behalf of all orders of being, all intelligences, all animals, all creatures, to know that everything has been blessed with purpose in existence. And purpose in being is to exalt life, and in so doing, contribute to the phenomenal diversity and the miraculousness and the ever expansion of life itself. And so it is our blessing to be the beneficiaries of the gifts, of the sacrifices, of the realizations, the revelations, the epiphanies, the clarification, the intellectual property, and all of the service and the labor of those that we are benefiting from, though we may not call their names. And that each of us, regardless of what hue of people we are, we represent lineages of people, and that there is greatness in those lineages that we represent, And duty and obligation would have us come to that place of care where we are invoking and calling forth the greatness of the lineages that we represent, and that we have a care to honor them. To really be in a place where it matters to us how we live. And if we were being watched daily by the eyes and the hearts and the minds and the spirits of our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, great-great-great-great-grandparents, great-great-great, and all of the great ones, if they could see us and how we handle ourselves, how we deal in our relationships, what we are giving our attention and our life energies for, would they truly be proud of us? What would they say about us? And many of us are living without a mindfulness as to whether or not our families who have already made transition on the other side, our ancestors, our ancients, whether they would find delight and joy in the lives that we're living. What would be their guidance? What would be their reprimand? And how would you want your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, your great-great-great-grandchildren, how would you want them to live representing you? At some point, we have to stop and give thought to the quality of lives that we're living, to the purpose from which we're centered in our living. Where is your passion? What do you care to really accomplish with the rest of your life, no matter what your age may be? As intelligences of existence, we have been benefited by being immersed in nothing but absolute and supreme intelligence and held by absolute law. And we have the opportunity to have an understanding, an understanding, a resolute standing with that which allows us to stand absolutely. But we have the opportunity to learn how to use the laws towards our greater good, to really be in a place where we are cultivated by the hands of angels of light, that we are shaped perfectly in this now moment, by every circumstance and situation that aids and facilitates our greater maturation, our greater unfoldment, self-actualization, so that we stand in the integrity of who we are as these points of absolute and supreme presence and intelligence. Or otherwise, as other ones would say, the children of God. And it's very difficult to have a real conversation about how do we center ourselves, how do we gain leverage in a system that is designed to undermine your personal power. How do we have a conversation about how to heal ourselves in this plethora of sickness, illness, and disease without bringing the laws into it, the God into it, the light into it, the way of life into it? We can't really address any of our issues that affect our spirituality, our financial economics. We can't really address any of the issues without coming to a place and space where we acknowledge that there is order in life itself. And that what we are witnessing in the degradation, the distortion, the dysfunction, the divisiveness, the divorce, the sickness, the illness, the disease, the warring, the incarceration, is the evidence of either not caring to be in those laws, ignoring those laws, not acknowledging that there is law, but being lawless. And this is the example that we have been given by our educators, by those who upheld and perpetuate the religious doctrines, initiatives, that we have not been properly served by those who have taken responsibility to give us orientation in life that has not been a right orientation in terms of our progression. For we should have been secured in our destiny by our education and our religious training and our socialization, that there should not have been any ones who were under the delusion or illusion that we could manufacture, produce, distribute, and advertise that which has no substance for the people to consume daily, consistently over time, to their own detriment, where the people themselves lack the substance of their own personal presence as a result of consuming that which has no life force, that which has no light, that which has nothing that is naturally charging, life-giving, life-supporting. And we're consuming that more than that which we should be having access to, so that we are always facilitating cellular cleansing, regeneration, renewal, and rebirth within ourselves, In this now moment of eternity, we each are going to be, and we each have been, facing the consequences of the choices that we have been making consistently over time, and where we have created that which we are not comfortable with, that which is not satisfying for us, that which is painful, that which we would like to reverse. We are able in this now moment to do it because all of the veils of ignorance and darkness and stupidity, all of that is gone now. We have access to absolute light and wisdom and truth. If you would call for it, if you would reach for it, if you would care to be bathed in it, to realign yourself with the integrity of the truth of your own inherent perfection, which is something that we have been socialized to deny. Ain't nobody perfect. I'm by no means perfect, but there is perfection that is an inherent part of existence. And functioning perfectly in life is something that we can cultivate. It is our care to be loving and kind, our daily due diligence in forgiving and releasing and letting go and being completely immersed in the thought of our gratitude, our feeling the blessedness of our being with each and every breath and every beat of our heart. The perfection in our living is as a result of our consistent growth and unfoldment, our maturation in the light of the truth of the all that we each are as these points of this absolute and supreme presence. And to be present, always oriented towards doing that which brings about a wholeness, a greater good, a greater rejoicing, a greater sense of being, wellness. To understand that this is duty, obligation, and responsibility as beings is to add to the blessedness of life itself. And that would not be that difficult to do. If we were properly supported in knowing that's what we're here to do. And when we take time to educate our children, to realize that our children learn from everything, and that some children, and we are included in that when we were children, had an inherent sense of what is right, what is correct, what is best. And over periods of them seeing that which is not right, that which is not best, the consistent compromise, the exemplification of one's feeling entitled to do that which undermines oneself and one's children, you understand, then our children lose the inherent divinity, rightness, the sense that they were given. Nobody brings forth children with the prayer that these babies will end their lives incarcerated for the last 40, 50 years of their lives. Nobody really has a child and says this child would be a mass murderer or a rapist or a violator or whatever. You understand, nobody wishes wickedness and evil upon their children. So how do people get to that point? It's because they were not properly supported in understanding the value and the virtue of rightness and righteousness. Because they were surrounded with those examples that chose to be lawless. We're in a now moment where we have to realize that nobody gets away with anything. It may seem as though people get away with stuff, but nobody gets away with anything. And that those of us who have the heaviest hearts, who are not feeling well within themselves because of their own trespasses, their own violations, then we are here to facilitate the healing and the wholeness and remembering to lead the way in terms of right alignment, in being forgiving, in knowing and supporting people, in releasing and letting go of those things, the heaviness upon them, the burdens that they carry. Because life itself is always there for us, always forgiving. Always nurturing, always nourishing, always strengthening, always adding unto us. And we should do likewise. What we have in terms of our possessions, in terms of what we have applied ourselves to in our getting and our doing, could never have the same value and weight as wealth, as our consciously caring to be vivid in our own self-representation and self-expression as these living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of that absolute and supreme intelligence that is all there is as existence itself, how we live in the virtues of our integrity. What is our impact and effect and influence in the world and on the hearts and the minds and the spirits of the ones that we come in contact with? There are many ones who are having a conversation of positivity. Many ones who have a conversation about how to really succeed in this life. Many ones who really have given themselves over to some degree of service through ministry or through medicine or through education. But the issue is, are we really supporting the lives of every being itself? Because there are these ones who always talk about humanity and righteousness, but we feed off the flesh of violated beings. And their aborted fetuses and their body fluids absorbing all manners of nitrates and nitrites and chemicals and preservatives and antibiotics and hormones and whatever into our tissues, so that we see that very good people who have very good messages, who've done very good work, are still having issues that have crystallized in their tissues, that are being diagnosed as cancer and lupus and Alzheimer's and dementia and all of these things as a result of the consistent bombardment, the consistent assault at the cellular level with all of this non-food stuff that has been so readily available to us and is ever more pervasive on every corner, across and or down the street, in the basements of every church, that now we have to rise completely up in knowing that we have duty, obligation, and responsibility to really exalt life, all of life, and to know that we are not able to exalt life fully if we're feeding off of the carcasses of those whose lives were taken from them. Mother Cow and Brother Bull, and Mother Sow and Mr. Hog, and all of these ones whose flesh and blood is charged upon the blood and the flesh of those who have been consistently miseducated to think that this is food for us. And it's something that we have to consistently think about and talk about, because everybody has family that we love that are having to face cancer and heart disease and lupus and all of these issues that have been created as a result of the body temple having been under siege. So that if those ones and ones can acknowledge that the forces of Satan, Lucifer, and the devil are running rampant in the world, it behooves us to understand what those forces are and how to not have their impact and effect in our lives. Because that which is God, that which is law, that which is life, that which is truth, does not create sickness, illness, and disease. And those who are literally in love, in light, in wisdom, and truth do not perpetuate sickness, illness, and disease. And healthy people, those who are in right alignment with the laws that govern existence itself, would not sign off on there being corporate entities and deities that promote sickness, illness, and disease as a result of their products. And we would not have a system that says it's okay because we support people being able to generate huge financial returns off of their ingenuity, their talents, their collaboration and whatnot, and let the buyer beware. But everything is fair game. That we do not have to have high ethic. We can do whatever the hell we want to do. And I'm saying that doesn't work in truth, because there is no greater prosperity or wealth that you will ever have that is greater than life itself. And for whatever amount of gold or silver you pull from the earth, the copper and the bauxite, the oils and the gemstones, the minerals or whatever, none of it can justify the assault against those who bring those resources to the surface of the earth and make them available. Because everywhere these things are, you are having to reconcile the fact that there are people who are deeply melanated, who are on top of the soils of where those things dwell under the soils. And it's okay if it was not in our sense of what we should be doing in the world to excavate all of this stuff. Under the vibration of we'll be rich with it, when the people were already rich with all of that under the ground because of that which was the content of their souls and their spirits. And now that we have been under the influences of all of these things that have literally sucked our life force dry, put us in a place where the treasures of our temples, the essence of our temples, our gems and wealth, have been robbed by the corporate deities of death, and those who enslave, defile, distort, render dysfunctional, then the people themselves have to come to a point and place where we will no longer participate with our own cellular oppression. The people themselves have to come to a point and place where we value ourselves more than we value the polished wood, metal, and stone. We value ourselves and being righted and being whole and being healed more than we value the trappings of success. Where the people themselves have an understanding and an understanding that there is no success. Where we are dying in greater numbers, and our children are coming into the world sicker and sicker and leaving earlier and earlier. We have to come to that place and space where we know that we are not here to be successful capitalists. We are here to be successful in self-realizing, self-actualizing, and being harmonized in the laws of existence on behalf of the whole of existence itself. So that when we leave, we have mastered ourselves, mastered the laws, having given our greater self, our contributions. And when we leave, we did not die. We graduated the school of Earth residency with flying colors, because we lived and walked and matured in the light of the truth of the all that we are as conscious immortals. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama, your voice of resurrection and heraldess of the eternal. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and I thank you for being right where you are in this now moment of eternity. For those of you who are tuning into the meeting of the inner circle for the very first time, we welcome you and pray that you find the inspiration to meet me here every Thursday night. Thank you for caring to be with us than any other place on the planet. And for those of you who are using your phone apps towards your greater good, I'm so thankful that you are that wise. And for those of you who are the inner circle, the ones who make sure that you're always attuned to this frequency at this appointed hour, I am so grateful for you. We have life to teach us how to be, and we should be as it is, consistently growing, consistently moving, consistently reaching, consistently unfolding, ever expanding. We are in a now moment of eternity that requires us to really care to be all that we are in life, and to know that life is our greatest gift. We'll never have anything greater. And I am so grateful and so thankful on behalf of the lineages that I represent to be celebrating my solar return on this day, and to give thanks for my parents and that which they came together in bringing me forward. And I consciously care to live, to honor, and be a glory unto them. I consciously care to live the quality of life and the substance of life that is beneficial to all of those that have the opportunity to hear me and to know me. And for those who would never know me, but will be benefited by you because you were touched in a way. And I am so grateful and so thankful for all of us who are sharing this now moment of eternity, because we are so absolutely gifted and so blessed to be sharing this now moment, because we have so much duty, obligation, and responsibility to respond to create heaven on earth, to know that the earth is already in heaven. And the intelligence of existence is so intelligent that it has created absolutely all of us, everything, and it's wise enough to always do what's in its own best interest. Now is our turn to be so wise, to be so caring, to be so diligent, to be so consistent as our breath and our heartbeat, in loving and lifting and caring to be uplifting, enriching, enhancing. Because when it come time to leave, and that time is rapidly approaching for everybody, that we've come to the earth, not just to live and die, but we've come to the earth to have the experience of being immersed in all the realms all at one time. Because when we leave the earth, we'll no longer be in the realm of materiality. But right now, we're in the realm of materiality, corporeality. We have the ability to create, to manifest, to focus on a thing and see it and facilitate bringing all of the component parts together so that it can be manifested. Living upon the planet is our opportunity to really learn how to create as co-creators with life. And it would have been such a wonderful thing had we learned how to create and we were properly oriented from the beginning of our lives. And because we didn't get that program, we didn't get that kind of cultivation, we didn't get that proper orientation. And there are consequences to what we were given in our miseducation, in the lies that we were given in terms of the four food groups and what we should be eating. And now we are paying the price. Our children are paying the price. Our grandchildren are paying the price of the illogic and the nonsense and the propaganda and the commercialism. And we, in this now moment, have opportunity to right it all, to do the damage control so that we have the opportunity to really experience the healing, the clearing, the cleansing, the purification, so that we can be whole. But there are so many ones who feel entitled to be dying that we have to realize that some people you just cannot help. You just won't be able to help them because they are not in a proper mindset to take responsibility to help themselves. And we have each been given so much faculty to really care. You understand, to see that if you're going the wrong way and you see that you're going the wrong way, you will stop and either get directions, get instructions, turn around. You understand, but there are certain ones who are going the wrong way and it's like they don't care that they're going the wrong way. And these are people that we know, we love, we are meeting every day. And I'm just saying to us is that when you really care, you have to do what's in your own best interests. You understand, you cannot really save people who really are not trying to be saviors unto themselves. And many of the questions that I get is, well, how do we impact the masses? You understand? And so in order to really impact the masses, the individuals have to be in a place where you care to be powerful to impact the masses. You understand? We could hold a collective vision of masses of people being given the vision of the light and the truth of themselves. You know, it's not beyond our capability to touch masses of people because masses of people are being touched through media and movies and music and all of that all the time. The issue is those of us who have done our inner work to be in a place where we are truly representing that which is light, that which is right, to really be the example for the right path of life. You understand, as opposed to just being controversial because we have a different perspective. But when those who care to be in light commit their talent, skills, and abilities to allowing the light to be exemplified through all medium, all media, and know that that's our collective duty, obligation, and responsibility, and none of us can really have a global impact by ourselves. And so those of you who have been listening to the kind of programming that WRFG brings so that you have a a better perspective, but also listening to this program so that you are being inspired and motivated to know what to do to reclaim your health and your life and your wealth, which is in yourself. Because a lot of people are looking at the government, we're looking at the economy, we're looking at money, we're looking at all of these things as if dealing with any one of these things would be sufficient, but none of them are sufficient without each individual one being properly oriented in exalting a full life's urge, in loving life with your whole body, heart, mind, and soul, in being in a place and space where it matters to us to live, to be in a place where we are no longer allowing ourselves to be employed in doing things that don't need to be done. See, the system does not work itself. The system works because people get up and go to work in its behalf. And if there was a gregreater thought, and the right thought, the right alignment with the purposes of life, then we could make the system work towards the greater good if we, who are individuals, are working towards the greater good. But when we have been socialized and educated and religiously trained to feel entitled to do whatever we can do to make a dollar without being properly oriented in the purpose of being, then we have exactly what's showing up, where people are careless and they really do not understand how the laws work in terms of them working every day in lawlessness and applying their time, their talent, their energies, their skills, and their abilities towards doing that which undermines the right of other ones to have their lives, whether it's the military, whether it's the Food and Drug Administration, whether it's the United Dairy Council, any aspect. You understand, you have those who are raising the animals, those who are killing the animals, those who are chopping them up and shooting them up and making their flesh available to people, and those who are packaging them and those who are distributing it. You understand, each way there are people who are working that makes the system of disease and death and all of that so prevalent. We're in a now moment where we have to really do what's ours so that we are no longer undermined by it, but that we also are doing that which gives us leverage over it to come to a point in place where we know that as men, the progenitor of lineages, and as womb men, the perpetuator of lineages, that we're here to exalt life. We're here to stand on behalf of life, all of life. And these people have taught us that the lives of these ones are not as valuable. The lives of these ones, we can do whatever we'd like to do with them, that they do not have the right to their lives. We have the right to oppress them, suppress them, subjugate them, dope them up, shoot them up, cut them up, and then serve their body parts to people. And because a lot of people are not thinking about it from that perspective, they're not understanding that when we were instructed not to kill, it included the animals too. And so Africa has been devastated because Africans allowed the devastation of their creatures. And where we do not respect the sanctity and the sacredness of life itself, then we do not have the benefit and the blessedness of having that quality of care and attention. And these people have us where, you know, the dogs and the cats are protected. You understand, you just can't abuse the dogs and the cats because they love their dogs and their cats. You understand, but the other animals don't have much protection. And then the millions of animals that have been killed and are consistently hunted so that the cows are protected. We have to realize that at the foundation of so much of the ill is the degradation and the violation of other beings, or what many of us refer to as speciesism, where we support the violation and we feel as though humanity and humankind have the right to undermine the right of other ones to have their lives, whether it's the cows or the pigs or the chickens or the turkeys or the dolphin or the sharks or the tunas or the swordfish. It doesn't even matter. Every creature is under siege. And this is creating serious imbalances in the world, because people have not created a greater way of living than the laws of life. And when you see people who really do not look like they feel well, sometimes you see people who look well, but they're not well. They look like they're well, but they're not really well. And a lot of them don't feel well. And then you have those who feel pretty good, but they're not really well either. And then you have those who really look like and that they're not well, and you can see that they're not well. And all of this is because everything that we have been influenced by has influenced us towards illness, being out of alignment with that which promotes harmony in our being. That's illness. And so on a practical basis, just a practical everyday reality, how do we live? What do you do on a daily basis to really honor life? To honor your life, but to honor all of life. And the more we are conscientious and thoughtful and mindful that duty, obligation, and responsibility as living beings is to exalt life. And this is what many of these ones have missed. It's not rocket science. It is more simple than most people can possibly imagine. And that all of the illness, the cancer and the diabetes, every disease has become a multi-billion dollar institution under its own name. And then they have you walking to raise money for these, for the research. And the research never comes to a point of really instituting anything that makes sense in terms of realizing that all of the disease is coming as a result of the body temple being assaulted with the decay and decomposition of carcasses. And the alcohol and the tobacco and the sugar and all of these man-made things that have no business in the human body. And to be in a place where women who have been under this system go to the hospitals now to have their children, you know, to deliver their babies. And then the babies are being shot up with things that are delaying their mental and their cognitive development. We have to come to a point and place where we realize that we have been authorized by the intelligence of existence to be able to perpetuate our lineages without poisoning ourselves or them. And we do not have to be certified, licensed, and degreed to exalt life. And to be in the integrity of who and what we are as men and women, mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers, sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters, that we have duty, obligation, and responsibility to exalt our lineages and to exalt life and to know what is the problem and to be able to do something about it. We do not have to consult with the murderers, the liars, the thieves, the capitalists, and whatnot to get their permission to stand in the light of the truth of who we are. The issue is, what are you afraid of? And where you don't consciously care to be empowered to make a difference in this life, then you will not ever gain it. And if you will not do what's in your own best interest to clear and cleanse yourselves from 20, 30, 40, 50 years of nitrates and nitrites and preservatives and antibiotics and hormones and artificial colors and artificial flavors and aspartame and white sugar residues and all of this stuff, then you will never be in the position to be empowered to walk in the truth of yourself. And that's what the whole energy of oppression is, to put you in place where you are never able to be in your own authenticity. Because when you are literally aligned with the truth of yourself, you cannot be oppressed by somebody else. The system does not work against you. You understand? There are no men that could work against you when you do nothing to undermine yourself. And for all of the ones who have lost their children to the crime and the violence in the streets, there was criminality and crime happening at home in the assault of these children's bodies with all of this garbage. And yes, if we had enough lawyers, then perhaps we could do class action lawsuits and claim crimes against humanity. But the reality of it is that each individual one of us is still responsible and accountable to the intelligence that beats our hearts and breathes us. And that where our spirits are acknowledging that we have been wrong, that we have been out of alignment, then it is for you to exalt a full care to be realigned in the truth and the light of yourself. Because nobody can do for you what you will not do for yourself. And when you will not do that, that is required in realigning yourself, in bringing back the harmony and balance of every fiber of your being with life itself, then you are not able to truly be attractive or magnetizing yourself towards the greater, whether it's a greater marriage or greater resources or better job or what. The bottom line is that every good thing that you could get, that you could attain and acquire, is still going to be based upon your right alignment and your right thought and your right action with that which is light and love and wisdom and truth. There are so many ones who have so many thoughts about what we need to do, and so many ones who are thinking that we have to do things the way that these ones have done it. We don't need a military. You understand? Because we have law. The law and our alignment with it allows us to be in the grace and the protection of it. But people are in a place where you have a greater regard for the tools of the Satanists and the Luciferians and the wicked ones, the devil ones, the government. You understand? Those who have led the people astray, those who've presented themselves as the wolves in sheep's clothing, and they're leading the people to slaughter. You understand? And the people are following as if they have no real sense of who it is they're following. All the time, they're talking Jesus, but they're following the devil, the forces of divisiveness. So each one of us has duty, obligation, and responsibility to life itself, and where we worship one part of life or one aspect of life and not the whole thing, then we do not have the fullness of what we should have in terms of perspective and perception and understanding and understanding and our wholeness. We're in a now moment that requires us to be able to respond correctly and directly to being under a world-conquering rampage that is depopulation and genocide. And there's no way to really respond correctly if you are following the same principles and practices of those who are murderers and liars and thieves. We can't defend ourselves using guns and drone attacks and military and all of that. You understand, this is not about arming yourselves with guns and this and that and fighting somebody back when you are a detriment to yourself. You're eating all the wrong things. You're drinking, you're smoking, you're creating a condition that is literally filth within your own body temple, where your spirit dwells, where you dwell in that body temple. Your body temple is your first home. That's where you live. And where you keep your car really clean. You understand, you're always putting things in the tank to clean the injectors and to clean this and clean that. But you have to do even greater for your body temple in order for you to walk in the fullness of yourself. When you are being oppressed by a system of oppression, then wisdom is being in that place where you do nothing to oppress yourselves, or you are actively involved in liberating yourselves and yourself with your activity on a daily basis. But we cannot yell offensive and guilty to these ones and those ones and then not take responsibility for what we have created within ourselves and within our families and our children, in terms of the degrees of ill health and ill will and divisiveness and sickness. There is no wealth and richness or riches in a people who are dying when you are already immersed in eternity. To live a life that perpetuates sickness, illness, disease, and death, and generate a livelihood that perpetuates sickness, illness, disease, and death, to invest in products that facilitate sickness, illness, disease, and death, to legislate and sign off on businesses that perpetuate sickness, illness, disease, and death, is going to create a tremendous harvest of more sickness, illness, disease, and death. And you have a choice now as to how you will participate in your life, on behalf of life, on behalf of the lineages that you represent, on behalf of your children, your grandchildren. You have a choice as to whether you will continue to be complicit and complacent with your own cellular oppression, or whether you will choose life on a daily basis, exalt a full life's urge, and be completely healed and made whole, to be revivified, regenerated, rejuvenated, and stand on behalf of life itself. It's your time, and I'm here to help you. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama, your voice of resurrection and heraldess of the eternal.